we're encouraged by the psalmist to praise the Lord. He is worthy. How many of y'all know he's worthy to be praised? How many of y'all know that he's worthy? How many of y'all know that he's worthy? Wait a minute, I'm talking about God Almighty. I'm talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How many of y'all know that he's worthy to be praised this morning? Even when we feel like it, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're up, even when we're down, he's still worthy to be praised. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he's worthy to be praised. Father, you are worthy to be praised. We do join in with the choir and we say that you are excellent, dear Lord. You are mighty. You are awesome. Mighty is your name. You are the Lord God Almighty. So even this morning, dear God, we have come to worship you. We've come to adore you. We've come to praise you. We've come to exalt your holy and righteous name. So Father, even right now, remove anything that might be hindering us from praising and worshiping you. Get our minds off anything else that we might have done yesterday or something we might be getting ready to do after church or might be trying to do next week or be at our jobs or whatever it might be, dear God. Let our mind, let our heart focus on you and you alone. Give us spiritual concentration, dear God. Let us meditate on you and on your goodness. We thank you, dear God, for this privilege again, once again, to come together, to assemble with other saints that we can call out your holy and righteous name. You are worthy again to be praised. So, Father, even now, forgive us our sin. You've told us that we confess our sins. You are faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, dear God, even this morning, cleanse our hearts and our minds that we might be ready to receive what you have to say to us. Your word does rebuke, it corrects, and it encourages. It builds us up, dear God. So we thank you for the preached word of God. Thank you for the written word of God. And we pray now that you would speak to our hearts and minds that we might all the more glorify you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand once again this morning, if you can stand, as we continue our series on these churches. This is actually the fifth church. It's actually my seventh or eighth sermon in this series, though, but it's the fifth church. It's the church at Sardis, which is known as the dead church. And once again, as we're going through this series, let's look at it from a local church perspective, love, fellowship. Let's also look at it as a universal church, the body of Christ universally, but also look at it individually, just as you. Joe H. Christian, look at it individually. So what is the Lord saying to my life this morning? Not just as a church together, but as me individually. Look what God is going to say to your heart and mind this morning. Thank God for our choir leading us in worship and praise. Amen. And we thank God also for our ushers, the Richardson family, plus one, Brother Marcus. So we thank God for all of you and all that you do this morning. Thank God for our Sunday Blast teachers this morning. If you're not coming to Sunday Blast, you miss an opportunity to learn and to grow in God's Word. It's always, as a Christian, when the Word of God is open, you need to make every effort to be around the Word of God. I firmly believe that. Scriptures tell us that. So I want to encourage you to come to Sunday Blast. Scripture this morning is, we read it once. Let me read it again in your hearing. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is, of course, Jesus Christ dictating this to John, the Apostle John. And these are the words of our Lord and Savior. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Before you take your seat, this is my simple topic this morning. Don't be dead, but be alive. Don't be dead, but be alive. You may be seated. Don't be dead, but be alive. Don't be dead, but be alive. As we look at Sardis, this dead church. In our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, in our solar system, there are at least billions, if not trillions, of stars. Many of these stars are billions and trillions of miles away. They are so far away, as a matter of fact, that there is measured in light years. And those of you who remember that class, biology, I think it was, a light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year, traveling at 186,000 miles per second. Let me say that again. A light year is the amount of distance that light travels in a year, traveling at 186,000 miles per second. That's real fast. Matter of fact, that's more than 6 trillion miles in a year. Light travels more than 6 trillion miles in a year. With that being said, if a star 30 light years away exploded and died out 5 years ago, here on Earth, it would not be, we would not be able to tell it for another 25 years. In other words, that star has extinguished. It's gone out, but the light is still traveling here. We would not know it until many years later that that star has actually died out. We wouldn't know it. But that star has died out, but we still see the light traveling, but that star has died out. You know, there are some churches like that. They are dead, but you just can't tell it yet. I mean, Jesus says it in verse 1. He says, you have a name that you are alive, but you really are dead. The church sign is still lit up, but you're dead. Still have Sunday and Wednesday evening services, but you're dead. You perhaps still have a radio or TV ministry, but you are dead. Still have a website, but you're dead. Still have a Facebook page, but you're dead. Church doors still open, but in actuality, you are dead. The Lord Jesus Christ says, and really his assessment is the only one that really matters. Jesus says to this church in Sardis, he says, First Baptist Church of Sardis, you are dead. Those are chilling remarks. That's a chilling statement. I pray that as a follower of Christ, and I definitely pray as a pastor here at Love Fellowship Baptist Church, we never hear Jesus say those words about this church or even about your life spiritually, that, hey, you're dead. But you know, that can happen to any church. It can happen to any Christian. You can drift away and really become literally dead, not lose your salvation, but really become dead. As I drive around town, there's a church right there on Brainerd Road. It's gone out of business. It's dead, and it died. As I talk to other various Christians, you know, many people talk about, hey, our church is just dying out. My brothers and sisters, you and I need to be adamant to not let that happen to us individually, but as collectively as a church. Let's never say we died out. Church just fizzled out. As a collective church, let us always strive to be a church that loves God, that loves his word, and that loves people. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to lead and drive everything that happens in this church. Let us always be about the Lord's business, making disciples, sharing the gospel, being what the church should be. We see in this verse, in verse 1, Jesus Christ opens up in this verse. He says to the angel or to the pastor at the church in Sardis, to the church that love fellowship right. He says these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God. That reference there, the seven spirits of God, refers to the Holy Spirit. You know, Christ is represented in his church. I said the Lord Jesus Christ is represented in his church. But also the Holy Spirit is represented in his church. As a matter of fact, you all remember when Jesus was getting ready to leave, he told his disciples, he said, hey, I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm going to send you all another helper. I'm going to send you all another of the exact same kind. I'm going to send you all the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. I'm going to send you all the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, guess what? The Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit came into the church. So every true church has the Spirit of God, has the Spirit of Christ, has the Holy Spirit alive in the church. And guess what? As Christians, you and I have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Matter of fact, I'm in the Bible. Matter of fact, we've been sealed until the day of redemption. Sealed by whom? Sealed by the Holy Spirit himself. So even when we come to church, in a sense, we really do, in a very real sense, we bring God, we bring Christ, we bring the Holy Spirit with us when we come. But then we also do pray for his manifest presence to be here as well. So Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm the one who has the seven spirits. I'm the Spirit of God. I'm the Spirit of Christ. I'm coming and I'm here in the church, he says. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. This is a Bible reading homework for you this week. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, write it down and read it later. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you, upon him, rather. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. All those things shall rest upon him. Now listen, the Spirit of the Lord is referred to as the Spirit of wisdom in this verse. The Spirit of the Lord is referred to as the Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of the Lord is referred to as the Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of the Lord is referred to as the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now look, we need the Spirit of Christ. We need God's Spirit in our church and in our lives. We need all those things that I just mentioned. You and I need wisdom. We need understanding. We need counsel. We need strength and might. We need knowledge and we need to fear the Lord. And the Holy Spirit make all of these things available. You know, if you and I, and if this church is spirit filled and spirit guided, we won't have to worry about becoming a dead church. You won't have to worry about becoming a dead Christian. If you're letting the Spirit of God who is in you to fill you and control you, guess what? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So if you're living a Spirit-filled life, if we are a Spirit-filled church, we won't have to worry about dying out. We won't have to worry about dying out. We just have to worry about getting caught up whenever the rapture happens. Jesus said he's holding the seven stars. This again is representative of the seven pastors or the seven elders of these seven churches in Asia Minor. Now this church here at Sardis, unlike a couple of other churches, we don't really have any background on it. We don't really have any biblical information on this church about when it was founded or when it was founded. But we do have a little information about the city itself, the city of Sardis. It was located 30 miles south of Thyatira. Those of you who was with us last week, we looked at the church of Thyatira last week. It was a corrupt church. It was a church that was corrupted last week. So Sardis was near Thyatira. It was in Sardis that apparently gold and silver coins were first minted right there in Sardis. Also, the city of Sardis was known for wool production and for the garment industry. As it relates to worship, the main false worship in Sardis was of this female goddess. So in the midst of Sardis, that was an economically powerful city, you had still a dead church. Again, that should never be said of any church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It should never be said that there's a dead church. But how many of y'all know, once again, there are churches dying. Statistically, churches are dying out every week. I get articles all the time about churches that are just, quote unquote, going out of business. That's still kind of a foreign concept to me. That really should not be. Some things just should not be. But this church in Sardis, Jesus says, you're dying out. Now in verse 1 and in verse 2, Jesus says, like he has in some of these other letters as well, he says, I know your works. And so he's going to list in his concerns. I'm going to give you some C's this morning. He's going to list his concerns. One of the things he says in verse 2 about their works, he says your works are not perfect. In other words, he's saying that your works are not complete. Your works are incomplete. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write these things down. These are some signs of a church whose works are incomplete. This is a sign of a church whose works are works of a dead church. Dr. John MacArthur, I really respect a lot of his writings, and so he lists some signs of a church that's dying, a church that's on its way to death, on its way to the grave, on its way to Taylor Funeral Home. Let me say it like that. He says when a church, here's one of the signs, there are six quick signs. He says when a church begins to rest on its past accomplishments, when a church begins to rest solely on its past accomplishments. Oh yeah, 10 years ago, man, you should have been with us 10 years ago. We were doing this and this. I mean, when a church begins to rest on its past accomplishments, that's a sign of a dying church. It's okay to gaze back in the rearview mirror and maybe, celebrate some things we've done in the past, or you're doing in the past, or learn from some mistakes. But then mainly look forward. I mean, mainly look forward. There's a reason I think when you're in a car, you got a big old wide screen. You got a big old, what's the word? I'm losing my word. Windshield. Thank you. You got a big old windshield in the front, right? You got a small rearview mirror. Look forward. Be careful just always, resting on your past accomplishment. Another thing, die in church. When a church begins to focus more on social ills rather than changing people's hearts through preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a church begins to focus more on social ills, what's wrong with society, rather than changing people's hearts through preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, social ills will be addressed. Yeah, we want to minister holistically, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially, and all those things. But you can't allow those things to be your focus, your main interests. We often refer to it as a social gospel, when you move away from really changing people's hearts to just trying to meet all their needs. The first need is a spiritual need. You may have to go some other ways to get to that point, but the main and primary need in all of our lives is a spiritual need. Let me say that one more time. The main and primary need in all of our lives is a spiritual need. And I understand the point that if a person is hungry, you might need to feed them before you can share the gospel. I get that. But still, the primary need, you don't want a person to be well-educated, well-fed, and still end up in hell. Let me say that again. You don't want a person to be well-educated, well-fed, and still end up in well-clothed, and still end up in hell. The most important need is a spiritual need. So when a church begins to focus on all these other things, good things a lot of times, but forget about the main thing, Jesus Christ and people getting saved, getting born again, that's a sign of a church that's beginning to die. Another thing this morning, another sign of a dying church, through Dr. MacArthur, Pastor MacArthur, says when the church becomes more concerned with material things rather than spiritual things. When a church gets more concerned with material things versus spiritual things, get caught up in all this other stuff. I mean, the budget is important. Yes. How many people attend? Those numbers are kind of important. Yeah. That's not the main thing though. I mean, I'd rather for a church to be healthy spiritually than to be busting out the seams numerically. Let me say that again. I'd rather have 100 healthy folks spiritually than have 300 and half of them, about most of them, on their way to hell somewhere or raising hell anyway. I mean, I think when a person grows spiritually, if a church grows spiritually, I think numerical growth would happen kind of as a byproduct. But when a church becomes more concerned with material things or numerical things than spiritual things, that's a sign of a church becoming a dying church. When the budget gets more important than the Bible, we in trouble. I mean, the budget is important, but when the budget becomes more important than the Bible, we in trouble. The signs of dying church. Here's another one. Got about three more. When a church becomes more concerned with what men think rather than what God said. That's a sign of a dying church. When the church becomes more concerned with what men think, be it men in the church or be it what men have written about the church, become more important, with more concerned with what men think rather than what God said, that's the beginning of a dying church. In other words, you've elevated all other opinions and you've devalued the word of God. And these things kind of happen. They don't happen overnight. They happen a little bit at a time. So we had to be watchful and weary and leery of these things, even as a church this morning, even as Love Fellowship. We want to make sure we don't start slipping into some of these things where we start saying, well, what this person said, I think, is more important than what God said. Number five is similar to number four. When a church becomes more enamored with doctrinal creeds and systems of theology and books written by men rather than with the word of God, the Bible. Like me as your pastor, if I come in here and rather than teaching out of the Bible, I'm bringing somebody else's book or this book about this and that book and 7 ways to be successful in this and 8 steps to this and more stuff about other stuff other than the word of God. That's the signs of a church beginning to die. When you put more value into doctrinal creeds or certain systems of theology or other books written by man rather than with the word of God. If I come in here one Sunday morning and say, well, I won't be preaching out of the Bible today, but I'm going to preach, although I'm quoting from him and I love him, I'm preaching out of this book written by Dr. John MacArthur. Something's wrong with me that morning. And I give y'all the scriptural and spiritual authority to begin to stone me from the pulpit. So now, Pastor, pick up the Bible, put that other book down. That other stuff is supplemental reading. Are y'all with me this morning? One last thing. When the church begins to lose its conviction that every word of the Bible is the word of God. That's the beginning sign of a dying church. When any church begins to, I don't know all the Bible. I don't know if we can necessarily trust all the Bible. We can go with 60 of the 66 books. No, that's a sign of a dying church there. That's a sign of a dying church and a dying pastor. When you begin to lose the conviction that every word, every I, every T, every I is dotted, every T is crossed in this Bible. We believe that the Bible is the word of God. So no matter how big the church is, no matter how big their budget is, no matter if the community is saying good things about them, if any church begins to deny that its only source of spiritual life, its only source of spiritual life, the Bible, if it begins to deny that, it has begun to die. I don't care if it's a large church. I don't care if they got a big budget. If they start denying that Jesus Christ is the center of the church and that the word of God is what we believe in, that church is beginning to die. Sardis had gone down that road. Sardis First Baptist Church, we'll call them. So that church, if it begins down that road, it needs to be resurrected. And the only one that can resurrect it is Jesus Christ. The only one that can resurrect it is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can resurrect it is the word of God itself. So Jesus says that this church in Sardis is dead. Listen though, they're doing some works. They have active ministries, but they are dead, dead, dead. Just like that star that burns out, but still the light is still coming to planet Earth. Just like that star, this church is dead, but it's not apparent to others just yet. But Jesus is omniscient and he pronounces them as dead. See, Jesus, he's like the medic. He's like the medic. You know, he checks a person's pulse. You know, when they check your pulse to see if they are alive or they're dead. Jesus, he's checked the pulse of this Sardis church and he says that they are dead. He said they don't have a heartbeat. I've checked their pulse and they're dead. No matter what the church sign says, no matter what the people in the community are saying, that church is dead. And really, once again, Jesus' pronouncement, that's the only person that really matters. So what does Jesus say about Love Fellowship? What does Jesus say about you? What does Jesus say about me? That's really the only thing that really matters. What everybody else says, that really, 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 in a very real sense, what everybody else says really doesn't matter. Let me say that again. As a church and as a Christian, what everybody else says really does not matter. Now, sure, we all like to hear compliments. We all like to hear good stuff, whatever. But really, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? So my prayer, my hope is that once again, he never pronounces you dead spiritually or pronounces this church dead spiritually like he does this church at Sardis. This church in Sardis is kind of like Samson over in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. You can read that later, Judges chapter 16, verse 20. The Bible says, Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. That's a frightening thing, Sister Bailey, to know that the Lord has departed from him and he didn't even know it. One translation says, Samson shook himself and the Lord wasn't with him. So this church in Sardis, they did not know that the Lord had departed from them. God had left the building and they did not even know it. Again, church signs still up. They still had a website, still doing ministry, but the Lord has departed. So those are some of the concerns. Those are some of the concerns that Jesus had with this church. They were dying. But look, as our Lord often does to all these churches, he's going to commend them. Here's some other seed. He's going to commend them. He's going to give them some applause, some good stuff that's going on in this church in verse 4. I'll come back to verses 2 and 3. But in verse 4, look at verse 4, if you will. Look at verse 4, and I won't hold you much longer. He says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, even in the church, you have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Even in the midst of this deadness, even in the midst of this perversion, even in the midst of this church that's dying, it's on life support, God still has a remnant. Oh, our Lord always has a remnant. Look throughout the Bible. You can go to Genesis chapter 6 when man was evil and wicked and God was sorry he had even made man. But there was a remnant. There was Noah, a man of righteousness. Just look out throughout the scriptures. God always has a remnant. And even down through the annals of time, finally God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to come and be the remnant, if you will. He had to come and be born of a Virgin Mary, live a perfect sin-free life, die on Calvary's cross, was buried, and came back to life. He always has a remnant. He always raises up a Jeremiah. He's going to raise up an Ezekiel. He always raises up a remnant. On your college campus, Sister Marissa, you might be that remnant. At UT, it's probably not a whole lot of people chasing after the Lord. When you go to Chat State, Josh, you can be part of that remnant. At Udawa, Stephen, you can be part of that remnant. God, he always has a remnant. He always going to have a spokesperson for him. So even in the midst of this deadness, even in the midst of this dead church, Jesus said, there's a few names. There's a few of you that are still faithful. There's a few of you that are growing. There's a few of you that love me. He's going to always have a remnant. Elijah, one time Elijah, you all know the story. He went up on Mount Carmel and went up against all those false prophets. I think it was 450 prophets of Baal and another 400 prophets. It was about 850 false prophets. And God showed up and showed out. Y'all know the biblical account. But then after that, Elijah get a little letter from Jezebel. We talked about her last week. Jezebel, and then Elijah gets all suicidal. He gets all depressed, and he's up under the juniper tree, and he says, Lord, and he's crying. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left, Lord. I said, wait a minute, boy. Wait a minute. I see more than you see. You think you're the only one. God said, I got 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I got 7,000 other men of God, 7,000 other prophets who have not sold out. So God's going to always have a remnant. And beloved, you ought to be excited this morning, even during the tribulation day, even when the Lord sends the rapture and snatches away the Christians, God's going to raise up 144,000 Jews to go and preach the gospel. And even during the 7-year tribulation period, when you got all kind of stuff breaking loose, God going to still be saving souls. He always has a remnant. And you ought to be excited this morning. If you're born again, if you're saved, you're part of that remnant. We are his church. We're the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. We're part of the remnant of God. And we're to go out of here even today and be his witnesses, be his ambassador, be an ambassador for Christ. We're part of the remnant of God. If you're saved, you're born again today, you're part of that remnant. So even in the midst of this dead church, God still has some soldiers. God still has some soldiers. Matter of fact, he said, y'all haven't defiled your garments in verse 4. This word defiled simply means they had not soiled their garments. This word soil means, some translations say not soil their garments. It means to stain or to defile or to smear or to pollute. So Jesus is really saying to those in the midst of this dead church, even though deadness is all around them, Jesus is saying, those of you who are not soiled, those of you who are not defiled, those of you who are not polluted, you'll get to walk with me. Oh, somebody ought to get happy right there. You'll get to walk with me. You are worthy, Jesus said. Jesus said, you are worthy to walk with me. Now let me say this. Those are wonderful words to hear. How sweet it is to walk with Jesus. I said, how sweet it is to walk with Jesus. And let me say it this way. If you're walking with him now, if you're walking with him now, you can trust you'll be walking with him later. But if you're not walking with him now, if you're not walking with, this is going to be simple. This is real easy. If you're walking with him now, you're going to be walking with him later. But if you're not walking with him now, you fill in the blank. If you're not walking with him now, you won't be walking with him later. So I would advise you this morning, if you're not walking with him now, if you're not following him right now, oh, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make sure I want to walk with Jesus now. So later on, I get to walk with him forevermore and hear him say, you are worthy. Nothing like walking with Jesus. Nothing like enjoying Jesus. So we looked at the concerns. We looked at how Jesus commended this church, these few saints who were whole and faithful to the Lord. Now we're going to see a command. In verses 2 and 3, Jesus gives some commands. See, it's amazing, you know, when you get off track as a Christian or when we get off track as a church, Jesus gives us some instructions of how to get back on track. It's not like Jesus said, well, we'll figure it out on your own. No, he's very descriptive, always. He's very descriptive. Listen to what he says in verses 2 and 3. A few words I'm going to pull out of here. I'm going to extrapolate from these two verses. First, he tells this church, tells Love Fellowship, tells Sardis, to be watchful. Then he says, strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Verse 3. Remember. Somebody say, remember. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Somebody said repent. But then he said, he gives a warning. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So about five quick things out of those two verses, I want you to jot down, as a church and as a Christian this morning, number one, you want to be watchful. You want to be watchful. You know, pay attention to what's going on in your own life. Pay attention to what's going on around the church. Wake up! That's what be watchful really means. That's kind of appropriate for this morning, too, I believe. Every morning is different. I was telling our brother Tommy when I was working with Marquise is in new members class, and I was like, man, for some reason this morning, I just can't get going this morning. I went and bought me a Mountain Dew Kickstart or something. I said, let me try this out. I don't know. Some morning you just can't get going for some reason. Maybe that's getting, brother older. Maybe that's getting older. I'm just getting older, I guess. Maybe that's what that is. I don't know. But as a Christian and as a church, be watchful. Pay attention to what's going on in the church and what's going on in your life and around you. Be watchful. Watch your own patterns. If you've slipped into the pattern of maybe not reading your Bible like you normally do or not praying like you normally do, be watchful. Do some self-evaluation. Be watchful. Watch out. Wake up. Be alert. All this is right out of text. Another thing he tells us to do, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says strengthen. Somebody says strengthen. He says, strengthen the things that remain. You know, there was some truth still in the Sardis Baptist Church. There were some true Christians there. He says, strengthen those things that remain. You know, the truth, the things that are pleasing to the Lord in this church. Strengthen them. You know, look at the things that are strong in this church. Look at the things that are strong in your life and strengthen them all the more. You know, strengthen them. Strengthen the things that remain. Those things that are still going well. Strengthen those things. Then another thing he tells us right out of the text in verse 3, he says, remember. See, if you are walking with the Lord, but then you begin to kind of die and get a little lax and drift away, or as a church, if we begin to drift away, he says, remember. Somebody say, remember. He said, remember what you have received and heard. It's been said that you and I ought to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. I mean, the gospel is good for salvation, yes, but it's also good for sanctification. You and I ought to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. Yes, Jesus, I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. Yes, Jesus lived a perfect sin-free life. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sin-free life. Went to Calvary's cross, died for our sins, was buried, but rose again. And because he rose again, I can walk in newness of life. Because he rose again, I can walk in Christ-likeness. Matter of fact, old things pass away, new things have come. Because he went to the cross, was buried, and rose again. So you got to remember that daily. You need to go over that in your minds daily. The gospel should never get like dusty or old in your life. So remember. Also, the Lord tells us to hold fast. Hold fast. Another word for hold fast is keep. Hold fast or keep or obey the truth. Obey the gospel. Hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the gospel. Obey it. Hold fast to it. Don't let your grip on it loosen. You know, this church needs to always be a gospel-focused church. This church needs to always be a Christ-centered church. Your life should always be gospel-centered and Christ-centered. Because if not, we would begin to drift and begin to die. That can happen to any church. Once again, that can happen to any Christian. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm just talking about drifting away and becoming really kind of ineffective as a Christian. And then the last one, this is a word, I don't know why we run away from this word oftentimes. I mentioned this last week, I think. Repent. In every one of these churches, Jesus gives them an opportunity to repent. Brothers and sisters, he doesn't say, well, I'm glad y'all messed up. You keep messing up. No, he said, repent. Turn back. Admit that you drifted away. Admit that you've done some things wrong. And repent. Return to your first love. He says, repent. Repentance is the freeing of a Christian. Repent. And so if the church would do these things, revival would come. If you would do those things, revival would come. So this morning I ask you, as a Christian, are you dead? If so, remember and repent. Remember from where you've fallen. And repent. Return to your first love. Is love fellowship a dying church? If it is, we need to be watching, we need to strengthen, we need to remember, we need to repent, we need to hold fast to the truth. Again, we don't want this church, or you don't want your life to be said, that's a dying Christian spiritually, or that's a dying church. We can go on and perform an autopsy on that church. I don't want that to be said. So you want to hold fast to Christ. You want to hold fast to the truth. Can I get three amens? Because watch this. I said we didn't know a whole lot about this church origin or their history from the Bible, but we do know, according to church history, some years later, because once again, all seven of these were actual churches that really existed. These are not just symbolic churches. They were churches that really, really existed. According to church history, some years later, this church, the church of Sardis, the dead church, did experience revival. It did cease from being a dead church. I think I hear about two amens. This church was dead, but it did experience revival. It ceased from being a dead church. There's always hope. If you're still breathing, there is always hope. You can be revived spiritually. If a church is still standing but dead, it can be revived. It's always a chance. There's always hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. But Jesus does warn in verse 3, he does say, hey, listen, he said, if you don't listen to my command, if you don't listen to what I just told you to do about remember, hold fast, repent, if you don't listen, he gives us a warning. He said, if you don't repent, if you don't respond, if you don't remember, then judgment is imminent. He gives some strong imagery in verse 3, the latter part of verse 3. He said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. Now, you know, if you've ever been robbed or ever watched a show where somebody's robbed, I don't know if the thief ever calls somebody and say, hey, I'm coming by your house tonight at 8:30, 7 p.m. and I'm going to rob you. No, they don't let you know. They wait until you get sleep. They wait until all the lights go out. And then they try to creep in and rob. Jesus said, if you don't respond to what I'm telling you to do, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. I'm going to come and take my lampstand. I'm going to leave. So after Jesus, he lists some concerns, he commends them, then he gives them a command that I just gave you a few minutes ago. Now he gives them some counsel, my last C. He gives them some counsel in verses 5 and 6, and then I'm through. In verses 5 and 6, he gives some counsel. Listen to what he says. He mentions this to some of the other churches as well. We talked about it last week. He said, this is good counsel from Jesus Christ. He who overcomes shall be, somebody say overcomer. Overcomer. Remember we said last week, if you're in Christ, you are an overcomer. So you don't have to be wondering, am I an overcomer or not? Well, if you're in Christ, you are an overcomer. But if you're not in Christ, you're not an overcomer. But he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Typically when we see the book of life, it talks about, a lot of times it talks about eternal life, but here it's talking about just physical life. Jesus said, if you are overcome, I'm not going to blot your name out from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's quite a bit there in those two verses. First of all, Jesus said, if you are an overcomer, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. Matter of fact, biblically, you cannot lose your salvation. If you're in Christ, matter of fact, Jesus said it this way in John 10:28-30. He said, if you're in my hands, nobody can pluck you out. He said, matter of fact, you're also in my Father's hand, so therefore nobody can pluck you out of his hand. Me and my Father, we're one. So if you're in Christ, you're an overcomer. If you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. There are some people in the Christian community, certain denominations, they do try to teach and preach that you can lose your salvation. But if you're in Christ, how can you lose something that you didn't work for and earn in the first place? How can you lose something that you didn't gain it really in the first place? It was given to you as a gift in the first place. I say, God gave it to us in the first place, right? By the grace of God, chosen even from the foundation of the world. Then, of course, the Bible says, whosoever confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God even gives us the gift of faith to believe. You and I would never even believe if God himself didn't first give us the ability to see that we were sinners in need of a Savior, run us down, grab us, and pull us out of darkness and bring us into his marvelous light. Now, he did all that. I believe he can keep us saved if he did all of that. So I think he can keep us saved if he did all of that. So Jesus said, if you're an overcomer, your name will not be blotted out. Matter of fact, I love this, and I end with these three verses. Romans 8:37-39 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, that's Romans 8:37-39, for I am persuaded. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. And if you're dead, you can become alive this morning. And Jesus ends by this simple yet profound verse. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, listen up. Heed this warning. Don't be dead. But be alive. That's a warning for every Christian. That's a warning for every church. If we're not careful, we can drift toward deadness. So the Lord said, listen up. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray.